Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. With Trailer Talk's Frack Talk Marcellus Shale Water Project, we're exploring the impact of natural gas drilling and fracking on our water resources and the issues being debated in our neighborhoods throughout the United States and globally. We're facing a complete shift in the shale regions as the largest ever concentration of gas lies beneath our feet. Who are we and what decisions will we make? This show is from October 12, 2008, from the first fundraiser for the then newly formed grassroots volunteer organization, Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, which organized to inform people and become a community resource about natural gas drilling in the Marcellus Shale region in New York. To say that the issues and debate about gas extraction and fracking in the shale has escalated and that much is at stake would be an understatement. Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy is having a fundraiser community celebration potluck hosted by Mark and Sunrise Ruffalo tomorrow, Saturday, November 13th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Delaware Valley Youth Center, 8 Creamery Road in Calicoon, New York. I am on the main street of North Branch, New York in the Sullivan County Catskills, and this region is being faced with the prospect of natural gas drilling. Many people have leased their land to the oil companies for the possibility of natural gas drilling. Quite a bit of opposition in the county. There is a lot of mixed feelings about the natural gas drilling. So I'm here at this benefit for Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy to find out what the concerns are. Come on in. Herb Runyon, well, thank you so much for joining me. Are you a part of the Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy?
No, I'm not. I just happened to be in town today. Saw this gathering here, and it's just something that's so unusual for North Branch. I think this is the largest crowd I've seen on
in
Main
North
Street.
Branch. So, Herb, where are you from?
I'm from Hudson, but I used to have a home here in North Branch. Right next door there.
Right next door to the old North Branch Inn.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
so you moved across the river.
Yes, I did.
Across the river, you mentioned you're living in Hudson, New York. You're not being faced with the possibility of natural gas drilling, but certainly the people here in this community are.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your concerns, if any, about the possibility of natural gas drilling?
I didn't realize that the Marcellus formation extended here into Sullivan County. So kind of makes me wish I bought some more land.
So you would then, no. You would lease, is that what you're saying?
If I had land, it would introduce that possibility. But let's talk about the way they drill. I do have questions about that.
And what are your questions then about what you've heard about how they do drill in the Marcellus Shale region?
The way they do horizontal drilling and the chemicals they use and the amount of water that's required, and kind of makes me wonder, how are they going to do it without disrupting my water or your water or the neighbor's water? It almost seems like you can't.
Hello, have a
Hi.
Seat. Welcome.
How are you? I'm Bob Schulman, and this is Jay Farris over here, too.
Hello, Bob and Jay. You're here for the benefit for Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy.
Right. Well, if Al Gore had won, we wouldn't be here right now, because then we would have renewable energy policies. And we wouldn't be in this mess. And the financial markets wouldn't have been so deregulated as they've been.
So you mentioned the economic crisis that we're facing. You're talking about renewable energy policies. So how are you involved locally in your own community here in the Sullivan County Catskills? Certainly we're faced here with the threat of natural gas drilling. And this group formed around this concern of what was happening in the neighborhood of many of the folks who are here.
Last weekend we went to a benefit for SASD, Sullivan County Alliance for Sustainable Development, and we heard about Dick Reisling, who's here this evening, spoke about how some farms are getting grants from the government to put on solar panels and to increase their efficiency, energy consumption. That's a much more sustainable way of bringing economic development to this county as opposed to drilling fossil fuels that are finite and cost the environment and can potentially damage, you know, the water table, environment, the tourism, economic infrastructure of the county. So there's an alternative out there, and it's renewable energy, and that's what we need to focus on, and that's why we're here today.
How do you have the conversation with people who might say, but we do have these needs, whether right or wrong, so what do we do now? The other part of it is it does seem that it will happen. How would you like this to unfold here in your own hometown?
We don't have to drill. There is enough that we can save by efficiency and conservation that would, there's much more resources in efficiency than drilling. And it's a lot cheaper to do, to weather strip your home, to just be more efficient in your everyday life. There's so much potential in that, that we don't have to do these other things that could damage the environment and pollute the atmosphere.
And Jay, has the possibility of this happening here in your own hometown, in your county, here in the Catskills, have you considered the possibility of having to leave? What will you do? What does this mean for you personally that we're facing this here?
Well, I can answer that a little bit. I called our insurance agent to ask if there was a policy, a rider that we could have for our homeowners policy that would insurance against the house becoming unlivable in because of pollution. And unfortunately, there is no such policy, but I'm concerned that the water table would become so polluted that our well water would be undrinkable. That's my understanding in a lot of these communities where the fracking has gone down to such a deep depth that the water table has been polluted with organic solvents such as benzene and so forth, and people apparently have gotten quite ill from that. So that, plus, of course, the additional traffic and noise and just
danger
of the, right, you know, the whole,
explosions.
Yeah, just in general, the whole thing, it seems like a horrendous mess.
And so are you, at this point then, you're gathering more and more information. Do you feel that this is something that, in the midst of this economic crisis that we're in, the possibility that your own home, the asset of your own home as well, is
absolutely
threatened?
Well, you know, one curious thing about the economic crisis is that now oil prices are dropping. And so the incentive for this drilling may, in fact, go down, which would be a curious plus in the whole economic crisis, which would be that we'd all use less energy because of decreased economic flow. So not necessarily for the right reason, but the correct end result. But I think that, you know, I see this as what's happening is that everything that happened in the 60s in the counterculture movement was stalled temporarily. And, you know, we saw with Carter's administration that he was trying to get all of this stuff in gear and he failed miserably. But now, 40 years later, people are beginning to wake up and say, yes, these are the main points, the main things we need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to the environment. We need to pay attention to renewable resources. We need to pay attention to sustainable agriculture, protecting the food supply, and equity of distribution of food. And so all of these things now are starting to come to light. And because I think largely a part of the information age and the speed of things with the internet, it's much more difficult for people to get away with nonsense as it was in the 60s and 70s. So that the playing field has been leveled a little bit now, and it's somewhat easier to get the truth across for people who really want to know what's going on. And hopefully that's what's going to make this movement more potent than the counterculture movement of the 60s.
Thank you, Bob. I'm interested in this idea of insider, outsider, local, part-time, weekender, these kinds of combinations of people that are here in the county. And sometimes what can happen is, right, there's a tension between somebody who's here for only the weekends or summers, somebody who's been here for many generations and is relying upon this economy here for their lives. Where do you fit into this? And
we're here on the weekends, year round. We come up, you know, in the winter on the weekends. We've had interactions with local people who are on the other end, where they could potentially sign leases and make a lot of money. What is the right thing to do? And it's very tempting to make a lot of, I mean, these people have the opportunity to make an enormous amount of money that they would otherwise never be able to make, to just sign away environment.
To lease. Yeah. Not even to sell, but to lease.
Right.
See, but I think that, you know, sorry to interrupt, but, you know, it's the same sort of thing that getting back to what one does in one's personal life. As a physician, I have been presented with many opportunities to do things for money. And I could be earning substantially more money if I was willing to do things that wouldn't sit well with me at the end of the day. And I think that each and every one of us has to examine those choices that we make. I think the argument that a local person in Sullivan County who has an opportunity to grab some money, that that's okay for them, is a weak argument, because everyone at any time in their life is presented with the opportunity to close their eyes and look the other way and do things for money, but we don't. And that's the bottom line.
It's selling your soul.
And so is it in one's workplace? Is you get the opportunity to grab a little something? And you know, that's what the all of the columnists are talking about now with the economic crisis, is that the economy is driven either by fear or by greed. And at a certain point, we have to sort of not participate in that. And it's the exact same thing with this oil, gas drilling thing now, where it's being driven by greed, playing on people's fear that they won't have enough money to live on, which, of course, isn't true because they've been living up here for generations and they're still here.
Thank you, Bob. That was Bob Shulman. Thank you so much for joining me. I've been speaking with Bob Shulman and Jay Ferris.
The cookies are the best part.
Chocolate chip cookies, come on in.
Hello, Sabrina.
I'm Kate Bowers.
Hello. Kate Bowers is one of the founders of Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy. So please share with me how you started this group. Please help yourself to chocolate chip cookies.
Well, it all started way back in December. I was at a Christmas party, and someone at the party said, has anybody heard about a meeting in Damascus where natural gas companies are offering homeowners $5 an acre to sign a lease? And we all kind of looked at each other and thought, ha ha ha, that sounds, you know, like, that's crazy, you know. And didn't hear it. A couple weeks later, I started hearing more and more information, and there was a lot of information that sounded different. Everything sounded different, so I wanted to find out the truth, and we became very concerned. Lots of people became concerned. We went to a lot of forums to learn more, and a lot of the people who are my neighbors, we all decided to meet and talk about it to see, you know, what we would do, what our next step would be.
Hey, where do you live? Who are these neighbors? What part of the Catskills are you talking about?
I live in the town of Fremont. And, you know, some of them are friends, some of them are neighbors. We just happened to see each other at a meeting. And we decided to get together and say, well, maybe we should start by going to our own town meetings, you know, and find out some information that way. I had personally tried to get in touch with a lot of, you know, local politicians, which I didn't really get very far because nobody seemed to even know it was happening.
So this is now December of 2007.
This is December and January, yeah.
December, January.
Yeah.
You live in the town of Fremont, and now that part of the Catskills also, that's quite close to the Millennium Pipeline.
Yes, it goes through the
town. So could you explain to us what the relationship is between the construction of the Millennium Pipeline and the natural gas drilling, and why yourself and your neighbors who are in close proximity to it are specifically concerned?
The Millennium Gas Line is, you know, so we can hook up these various wells to the pipeline. And we became concerned because we realized that there were things they were doing that didn't seem right, like these open pits and the chemicals. And my concern was, because I'd heard a lot of stories from my husband because he worked on gas and oil rigs out west. So we did. Yes.
Your husband was involved then. So you said working in the oil company.
And we felt very fortunate
rigs.
To live here in New York, where it's clean and beautiful and quiet. And and I knew that this was going to change everything.
So in what way?
I was sort of in a state of shock. Like, I couldn't believe that this was going to happen. You know, that, you know. And I really thought, oh no, there was nothing we can do. And I think we've made a really big difference so far in our work. By educating people and finding out more what's going on, what the state regulations are, and how we can change things by really, really lobbying.
So, Kate, could you describe for a moment your land, how long you've lived here? You just shared with us that your husband was, you know, worked on an oil rig in
Wyoming, early 80s.
you thought this could never happen here.
Right.
So how long have you been here? What is your land
oh,
like?
I was born here. I was born in the Calicoon Hospital. Yeah. And my husband is from Roscoe. And we bought a 27-acre piece back in the town of Fremont on the border of the Sullivan County and Delaware County line. One of the watersheds to the Delaware River, the Basket Creek. And we have ponds and, you know, we raise chickens and, you know, it's just a beautiful area, lakes. And we've had a lot of floods the last 5 years where my pond is overflowed. I'm very concerned about the activity that they're going to be doing and how that's going to affect us, you know, our health, our water, our soil, our air, our noise, everything.
So when you first met, did you call up your immediate neighbors? How did this start? And from those early days last spring, the spring of 2008, when you gathered, what has happened?
Well, we had a great group of people who came to my house, and it just took off. Everybody had such great ideas. You know, we had people who were able to do a lot of writing and investigating, and we really decided that what we wanted to do was we didn't want to have another something that was going to divide the community, because we could see it already. You know, people were signing, people who weren't signing, and we wanted to be able to talk to our neighbors, find out what their concerns were, try to give them the correct information about how it would impact them, how gas drilling on their property. And also we were very concerned about, we had heard about bad leases being signed, people not getting a good deal from the gas companies, people being taken advantage of. And, you know, we were told there was nothing we could do about that. And we just decided we weren't going to accept that, that if we couldn't help them get a better lease, we were going to do what we could to change the laws.
Were you at all tempted by the possibility of leasing your own land? Was there ever a decision, point of decision, where you were on the fence about that?
No, we don't. But I can't say if I was in someone else's shoes who had lots of land and had been working their land and were having hard times, I could definitely put myself in their shoes and understand why they would make a decision. But, you know, we really felt it was important that we need to get information out there. We needed to, you know, they were coming in the back, sort of the back door, and approaching farmers who were down and out and didn't understand the whole everything that was, you know, going to happen.
Through the research that you've been doing and gathering friends and neighbors with your group that you founded, Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, what have you discovered? What are you facing right now? What is happening in the Sullivan County and Delaware County Catskills, which you border?
Well,
or I should say you straddle with your property. And please
introduce
yourself.
Bruce, because he's very good at...
Bruce Ferguson here.
What have you learned then as your group is working? We're here at the benefit for Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy at the North Branch Inn in North Branch, New York. Where are we at right now then in the Catskill?
Well, right now we are working I'm going to let Bruce describe what's going on in Albany. But you had asked me about what I learned about the drilling. Through the process, I've learned about the hydraulic fracturing, what all the drilling is with all the water that they used, how deep they go. They go horizontally, you know, as deep as 9,000 feet. That the Marsalis shale is very high in normally occurring radioactive materials. And so when they go down there with all the water and then they bring the water back up, it's not only has chemicals in it, but it also has all of these materials from the ground, the shale. And they want to store them in pits, open pits that are lined with plastic. And so I was learning all about this and saying, this isn't right. This isn't good. We don't want this in our backyards. And so we were trying to figure out what we can do. Will we have to just totally stop all this drilling so it won't happen? And then we started learning about different ways that we could ask the gas companies to change the status quo about how they do things. And so we're insisting on steel tanks for the fracking fluids, which they don't want to do. So we've got our work set out for us on that. We're worried about where the water's coming from, where the water's going to go, when they're done with it. You know, we don't want them spreading it on the roads. We don't want them just taking it to water treatment plants that can't handle, you know, the chemicals that they're using, because they won't tell us what the chemicals are. So there's a whole array. It's so many issues.
And Kate, you decided to found grassroots group, a concerned citizens group, instead of just putting your head in the sand or trying to leave the area.
Right.
So what is this experience? What is this like for you? Have you been part of a grassroots group like this? What are you learning about your community, your neighbors?
No, I've never done anything like this before. It's quite a learning experience. The dynamics of the group, we have such a great diverse group of people who can do everything. We all of us together, we're doing so much, but each of us is doing, you know, little baby footsteps and coming together and just, I think, doing a great job. I mean, I was so worried months ago, you know, March, about what was going to happen, because I wasn't getting a response from the politicians, and I was at my wit's end. But now I feel like, you know, we're really making progress. I'm more educated about it. I think fear comes from not being educated about a situation. And then you have to decide, okay, am I going to put my head in the sand, or will I try to do something? And I decided, what am I going to leave for my kids if I just throw up my hands, you know? I really have to do whatever I can. And
your group is a very diverse one, mm-hmm. and I think that's also quite unique.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we include people who have signed leases, who are thinking of signing leases. You know, we would love to talk to the gas companies, but, you know, I think that that's something we'll have to keep working on, because I don't think anything is impossible, really, if we just keep working hard.
Well, thank you so much, Kate. And
thank you, Sabrina.
You're welcome. And Bruce Ferguson, please join in
here?
The conversation.
Okay.
And Bruce, how are you involved?
I got involved. I went to a meeting at Kate's house, and I forget how I heard about it, but that's when I first met Kate. I hadn't known her before. And I think there were about 40 people in your living room that day. This was back in May. And we decided we wanted to form a group that was devoted solely to this issue, single issue group, and we formed a not-for-profit, and I guess we were incorporated in June or July, and we're primarily web-based in a way. I mean, one of the nice things about this fundraiser tonight is I know I'm getting to meet people I've had email correspondence with but never met in the flesh before, because our membership is really held together by our website and email, and Kate and a number of others have also done outreach going to the markets, like in the farmer's market in Calicoon and Bethel Woods. All of us who have gotten involved in this realize right now what this is more than anything, it's an education project. It's a massive education project, because a year ago, no one knew anything about Marcellus shale. They didn't know anything about natural gas drilling, hydro fracking. We now have a whole new set of facts to deal with, and a whole new vocabulary. First and foremost is to educate people so they can make informed decisions here. That includes landowners, people opposed to drilling. We all have a stake in this. We're all stakeholders. And if people want to lease, we do not oppose that. We would like to see them get fair leases, which is a real struggle because, frankly, gas leasing is run like a criminal enterprise. It is full of coercion and deception. There was a meeting in Hancock not too long ago in the high school up there. Over 100 people turned out who had signed what they thought were bad leases. What was on the paper was not what they were promised orally. I spoke to one 83-year-old woman, a widow, lives alone. A landsman showed up at her door. She listened to him, let him in, listened to what he had to say, decided she did not want a lease. The man refused to leave her house for 3 hours until she finally signed out of desperation just to get him out the door. Her lease gives her no protections. She got $26 an acre for land that's worth $2,500 an acre. And I've seen the lease, and it's horrendous.
What can she do?
Well,
And how are you advising people then?
I'm not a lawyer, and we are not legally advising people. We are trying to document what's going on. We understand the Attorney General has begun to warn people about predatory leasing practices and, in fact, is investigating fraud. We would like to see some of these landsmen and gas company reps prosecuted for fraud, because there is systemic fraud in the business. The same names of the same landsmen same gas company reps turn up over and over again. I was at a meeting not too long ago in which a employee, reported to be an employee of one of the big, big gas companies, was telling people that here's the lease, it's Thursday night, if you don't sign by Sunday, you're not getting a penny, and we're not changing a word in the lease, and every lease is the same, so you don't need to be in a group with other landowners. Now, to say every lease is the same, that is fraud. Every term in a lease can be negotiated, but people don't know that. They're beat over the head, they're given misinformation, and this is one of the biggest problems is bad leasing, because the bad leases are also the leases that are the least environmentally responsible leases. They allow all sorts of activity that a good lease would never, ever allow.
And Bruce, are there companies that are more responsible than others? Can you share with us who are these companies? Who is coming in here?
Well, the names we hear about around here, we've heard Chesapeake is a big name. Nornu is operating a little to the north of us. Cabot is in here. You can go and look at the stock market, and the big energy companies are here. XTO, I understand, is here. We have yet to find a company that's indicated they really want to be good partners. For a long time, the gas companies would not come and talk to anyone here. I understand Cabot did have a meeting with Tina Palachek and the county legislature, which is a step forward, and we applaud that. They also said they'd disclose the chemicals they use in the process. We applaud that. However, they also said that they do not intend to use best industrial practices, which is to put their toxic fluids in enclosed containers so we don't have the risk of groundwater contamination, air contamination from the volatile organic compounds, and groundwater contamination from leaks and spills. They've said it's not necessary. We know when these open pits have been used out west, there have been documented hundreds and thousands of cases of groundwater contamination and ground contamination. We're asking them to use best industrial practices. We'd like to see legislation to that effect. And the other things we're looking for on a legislative front are, we think the towns must have home rule. The gas companies have gotten themselves exempted from home rule provisions of the state law. The towns have almost no control over what goes on in their border, just like they've gotten themselves exempted from federal environmental laws. They're a law unto themselves. We think home rule has to be restored. Towns should have the right to enforce zoning and noise ordinances and setbacks from churches and schools and homes for industrial activity. These are powers they don't have right now. Even the power to enforce a moratorium legally. I mean, some of the towns here we know have passed moratoriums. A lot of the lawyers I talk say they're not legally binding, that they can't get away with it. We think towns should have a right to say, hold off, let us plan for this. We think towns should have a right to demand bonding so that the increased expenses of from road damage, increased law enforcement, because unfortunately with gas drilling, you get prostitution and meth addiction. So you've got a drug problem, you've got a law enforcement problem. You also have additional medical expenses because it's a dangerous business. There are industrial accidents, there are people crushed and burned and fall, and then there's the chemical contamination. This can be a big burden on the local towns. The gas companies don't want to pay it. They want to put those expenses off onto the towns. We think that's wrong.
I've been here for the Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy benefit. I'm at the Old North Branch Inn on Main Street in North Branch, New York. The Old North Branch Inn has been here since 1868 and has been part of the community effort to revitalize the area and was completely restored by Victoria Lesser. I've been speaking to people throughout the night who have come here to voice their concerns about the natural gas drilling that this region is facing and to speak with the founders of the Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy. It is now 8:00 at night and I'm about to pack up and head back home to Liberty, New York.
From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artell. To find out more about Catskill Citizens for Safe Energy, please go to catskillcitizens.com. trailertalk.org. Trailer Talk gratefully acknowledges the Park Foundation, the New York State Council on the Arts, and the Puffin Foundation for their generous support of our work. Special thanks to the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance in Narrowsburg, New York. We couldn't do this without you, and it's contributions from people like you that make this project possible. Please go to the Frack Talk section at www.trailertalk.net and talk to us. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artel. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artel. Safe travels.